broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Attorney General, my name is Alice Hoagland.
Nice to meet you.
I lost my son on Flight 93. Sorry.
This is the first time. You talk about the death panels. Forget the death panels, but this is rationing.
It's a full-on Captain Jack attack. People Magazine out on stands Friday.
You have been tweeting me.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it... Let me just hear that again.
You blew it!
That knows what it's talking about. This is a news talk and entertainment show where reality is our bitch here, and each and every night we step through the looking glass of talk radio, news, media, and life in general. Coming up this hour... We've got Marilyn Donnelly. Ms. Donnelly has been with us before. She is with a group called Adam and Eve, which is a pre-surgical transgender organization, pre- and post-surgical, actually. And these are people who have been slated for or have received transgender sexual reassignment. And she's going to join us tonight to talk about the recent report here, the healthiest and unhealthiest states. States in New England top a new set of rankings while the South still lags. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we also have, you can put Ms. Donnelly on hold, bud.
I thought you can talk to her.
In a minute, okay? I'm listening to her phone line. 877-876-PHIL, and we also, of course, welcome you to go to our website and watch our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio there. If you go to Twitter, go to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. That is our staff-owned and operated Twitter site, and you can follow along behind the scenes. Now, in this annual ranking, it looked at 22 indicators of health, including everything from how many children received recommended vaccinations to obesity, smoking, so on and so forth. Vermont ranked first this year, thanks in part to its low rate of obesity, its high number of doctors, low rate of child poverty. They are just kicking ass, man. Number two, Utah. Number three, Massachusetts. Number four, Hawaii. Number five, New Hampshire. Number six, Minnesota. Number seven, Connecticut. Number eight, Colorado. Number nine, Maine. Number 10, Rhode Island. California is nowhere to be seen, and why is that? All of the fat asses moving here from out of state. Now then.
Oh, what about you?
I was born and raised here. I'm a fat ass that was born and raised here. Thank you very much, so I have a right. Go ahead. You can bring Ms. Donnelly on the line now, bud, if it's all the same to you. Marilyn, thank you for being with us. We're having a little bit of a crazy time here.
Well, you sound like you're enjoying... your show this evening, and thank you for having me on.
Well, we always are happy to have you with us. Marilyn, some people know you are pre-surgical, is that?
Yes, I'm pre-surgical. I present as a female, transgender, and the state of health is obviously something that is interesting to me because I've been dealing with my own body and questions that I have concerning my body for a long time. All of my life, really, looking at this study by the United States Health and Human Services, as well as being in contact with doctors about the relative health of our country, is very important.
But why would you be interested in this?
Well, I'm interested in it from a couple of standpoints. Those of us involved in transgender issues recognize the need for a healthy body, obviously. We are also people who have received or will receive extensive reassignment or cosmetic surgery. This sometimes necessitates a great deal of research, and research can be done in a limited fashion by way of computer models and some testing using animals. But there is no substitute at all, and doctors will tell you this as well as researchers. There really isn't any substitute in research for healthy organ donors. And when we look at the relative state of people in this country in terms of their health, we see a great disparity. People in some of the southern states that you mentioned, Phil, are nowhere near as healthy and do not have the kind of health services that people in northern states have.
Well, let me look at the list here. We have toward the bottom of the list. Let's just go from the bottom of the list up. Mississippi, this is number 50, so this would be the most unhealthy state in the union. Mississippi, Oklahoma, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, Then that great southern state of Nevada. I'm kidding, but you know, you guys are there. Nevada, you're number 45. Tennessee, Georgia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Arkansas. These are all southern states. Why?
I think that the residual effects of the Civil War, believe it or not, still resonate throughout the South. There was incredible poverty following the Civil War in the South, and much of that remains not in terms of government service, but in terms of habit, cultural habit, the eating habits, the way children and their health are viewed. And still, if you look at the wealth in terms of dollars and in terms of domestic product of those states, we find it lagging as well. This is a residual, as interesting and as tragic as it is a residual of the war between the states that has never quite ended.
So this incredible poverty that visited the South after the Civil War still clings.
To a great degree, I think, and as well as the habits of the people. And those need to be changed through education. The educational model is a good one. The next step is the junk food tax, which has been proposed at the state level. And the idea that has been offered in the United States Congress by Senator Shelby is that the southern states be viewed as a health and human services block of states, and that there be a regional tax on junk food for the southern states as well as these other states that are outside of the geographic bounds of the South. You mentioned Nevada.
Nevada is one. Texas, I think, is technically a southern state. Let me see here. Texas is interesting because they're not a poor state, per se.
No, Texas is not a poor state. But Texas has made the statement through their governor that they would secede from the union if certain political considerations were not given. So when you look at Texas, I think you leave them out of the equation, given the fact that they've made that threat. But the rest of the states that are in need, I believe that need needs to be addressed. And that is in the form of a junk food tax.
Now, the junk food tax is a tax on non-essential foods like soda pop and I don't know what else, potato chips?
The junk food tax would apply to, as you said, soft drinks, snack foods, cookies, non-essential foods that are not in the index that is offered by the Surgeon General in Health and Human Services as nutritive foods. And so there would be a tax in these states and Nevada and others on junk food, so the people are discouraged from eating it.
All except Texas, though.
Except for Texas, yes.
And you're saying that Texas would not get this junk food tax because they...
Well, first of all, Texas wouldn't want a junk food tax. But secondly, Texas, because it has threatened to leave the union, at this particular point, I don't think is high on our list of priorities when it comes to health.
Yeah. Well, that was an idle comment made by the governor of Texas, though. I don't really think he's serious. Certainly, we treat the people of Texas as we do every other citizen of the United States and be concerned with their health.
I don't think we can afford that luxury. We have limited funds. The Texans would not agree to a junk food tax anyway because they feel that taxes are essentially a destructive way of motivating people. And the health of the people in Texas should not be a priority because they said they wanted to secede. And
no, the governor of the state said they wanted to secede.
And there were a great many people around the state that held meetings endorsing that. So I think we have to say now that the health of people in Texas is of minimal concern to the American people, given the limited money that we have.
All right, well, let's get Texas off the radar. You're saying we don't even worry about Texas, whether they get too fat or not.
Well, if you look, you'll see that Texas is ranked 39th in health among all states. And that's not very healthy. So they obviously have a high risk of heart attack, obesity, lung cancer and other debilitating diseases in Texas. They're going to lose their people to these diseases. Texans are going to die at an ever-increasing rate. And they've threatened to secede from the Union, so I think it is a logical statement to say they're on their own. If they die, they die. I don't like the idea of children not being fed properly. I don't like the idea of people dying of a stroke in the middle of a home where people may not discover them for days. But if that is the course that Texas wishes to plot for itself, then I say bon voyage, and I bid you adieu.
Well, all right. But, okay, so Texas is not on the list. So what are the states that you would say should have the junk food tax to help save the people? Mississippi.
Well, the states are Mississippi, Oklahoma, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, Nevada, Tennessee, Georgia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Arkansas, Missouri, North Carolina, Florida, Indiana, and Alaska. Alaska's number 34.
Alaska is 34.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
And again, they have a governor who presumes, or a former governor that presumes to run for president of the United States, and her people are dying from lung cancer, obesity. The children are undernourished and are not clothed properly. Thank you, Sarah Palin, very much.
Well, let's not blame her, though.
I think it's a fair assumption, Phil.
Let's not. There's a lot involved in how these things get done. On the line with us is Marilyn Donnelly. You know, Marilyn, you're talking about a junk food tax then would apply to the southern states as well as...
As well as Nevada and Alaska.
Alaska and Nevada because of their low rate of health.
Yes.
And you are leaving out Texas because they threaten to secede.
I think we have to. I think we have to use the limited dollars that we have available to us in the most intelligent way. And if Texas is going to insult the American people by saying we don't want to be a part of your country, then I think we have to make the decision that some people live and some people die. And Texas has chosen to slowly die from cancer and obesity.
I don't think that's quite the message that they're sending there in Texas. And I don't even believe the good people of Texas want to secede. I think it was a political statement made by Rick Perry. Nonetheless, Marilyn Donnelly with us from Adam and Eve, the pre- and post-surgical transgender organization, on the need for a junk food tax in the following states. These are all southern states, by the way. And it is no comment on the industriousness, the ingenuity, the intelligence, or the quality of the people there, but she did make a point that the poverty that visited the South following the Civil War in many ways still bedevils these states. Mississippi, Oklahoma, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina. Nevada is number 45. Tennessee, Georgia, West Virginia, Kentucky, Arkansas, Texas, although she says Texas does not deserve any assistance federally for health because they threaten to secede. And then Missouri, North Carolina, Florida, Indiana, and finally Alaska. And she also made the statement that Alaska, it's interesting, they're on the list of one of the most unhealthiest states because their governor was presuming to run for vice president, or their former governor. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Marilyn Donnelly here as we talk about the healthiest and the unhealthiest states in the union, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I love Texas, but they need to die.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. As we talk about the relative health of the 50 states, we've seen this report, and Marilyn Donnelly with us from Adam and Eve, and the report says that the unhealthiest states in the union, and that's really the states we should be concerned with, are predominantly in the South, and I don't want it, this is not going to turn into some South-bashing thing.
No. I feel I wouldn't do that. I have an understanding of the region. I'm saying that there are historic reasons why the South would suffer this kind of high rate of obesity and heart disease and lung cancer and the lack of services for children, there is a great need for federal service. To pay for that, obviously, the junk food tax is important. The same holds true for Nevada, and the same holds true for Alaska. I simply think it's ironic that Alaska is in such poor health, even though they have a governor there that everyone thinks should be elected president. I find that very ironic.
But you also said that Texas has a very high rate of a disease and a lack of health, but they shouldn't get any federal funds because they threaten to secede. And I think that's a little petty, don't you?
I don't think it's petty. If you're asking for help with your citizens, then you certainly do need to have a little more respect. Now, Texas, I don't think, is asking for help. I think Texas feels that being ranked 49th or 39th or whatever it is...
I think they're ranked 39th.
Well, they probably don't care. If that means that people are sick, then people are sick. But I'm not going to hold my breath and wait for them to apologize for the secession remark before I give them money to help them get their people back on their feet. You have people in Texas right now that have such obesity problems that these, the cars, one of them is called a hold-around.
The little electric scooters.
Yes, the sales of that in Texas, the sales of those kinds of things in Texas are astronomical because you have more people in Texas using the hold-around and other cars like that than any other state in the union. You would think that if you're threatening to secede from the union, and what you will be left with is a small country of very fat and diseased people, you would think that you would moderate your beliefs. But, as I say, that's Texas and...
Well, I don't think they're going to be moderating any beliefs they need to... Nobody believes they want to secede from the union in Texas. That was a Rick Perry statement, you know.
But if he's going to make that statement, I think he needs to understand that if he were to... actually follow through on that threat, that he would be left with a state of diseased, obese people in hoverounds. And that's what he's going to field an army and a navy from? Is that what he's going to use as a work crew, a workforce for infrastructure? Is that what he's going to draw from when he needs people for the Olympics? Because Texas will need an Olympic team. And I don't mean to be funny, Phil, but unless operating a hold-around is an Olympic sport, your guess is as good as mine, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude about that.
Well, again, you're making an issue out of Texas seceding. That's just not going to happen. Let's go to a phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Marilyn Donnelly here from Adam and Eve about the recent reports of unhealthy states. Tell you what, we don't have to take a break. Let's go over to Key in San Antonio. Key, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. We got to go remote with Key. Key, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mr. Hendry. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, your guest, it's a woman that used to be a man or a man that's going to be a woman? Because
well,
I don't want
like to... If you'd like to direct your questions to me.
Yeah, Marilyn's on the line.
I'm from Texas, and I think we should succeed from you because your little polls and stuff, but... for you to sit there and say, if we die, we die.
If you want to secede from the union, then you're going to be left a country with obese people who have
heart
disease.
That's right. We are the Republic of Texas. We are the Republic of Texas.
You're very unhealthy people, given the report from the Health and Human Services Department.
You ever had Texas food? Have you ever had Texas barbecue? No, I don't think you.
You have a very high rate of obesity and heart disease in Texas. And if you become a country and you have a country of, you have an army of people who are too fat to get up from a breakfast table.
No, I don't think that's
I think you know what that's exactly what it is.
No, we're not obese
yes.
in Texas. We are not obese in Texas.
Texas is the 39th most unhealthy state. The 39th most unhealthy state in the union.
Well, all right, look, he is...
Republic of Texas, unless you know.
I'm passing judgment on the fact that you people are so fat that there's nothing that can be done.
Do you have an
That's
Adam's
not
apple?
True at all. That's not true at all.
Are you a woman with the Adam's apple?
Are you a man with breasts? Are you a man with breasts?
And you want to pass judgment on
yes,
obese people?
That's what I'm doing. I'm passing
Phil
judgment
Henry.
On you. Please.
Marilyn Donnelly is with us from Adam and Eve, which is a pre-surgery and post-surgery transgender organization, and we're talking about the recent report from the U.S. Health and Human Services Department, as well as the Surgeon General, that of the 50 states, the unhealthiest states seem to be in the South, and it isn't that we're targeting the South. The healthiest state is Vermont, and I don't know whether you have a comment on that or not, Maryland, as to why they're the healthiest.
Well, I don't know. Vermont. I've been in Vermont, and while there are a lot of people who engage in outdoor activity, a lot of sports, and people seem to be less stressed. I think you referenced this on your program, Phil, earlier, that there is a much less concentration of people in large urban areas. There is a flip side to that, and that is Vermont is an area where there is a very high degree of depression, and they don't take that into consideration in this report.
Mental health, in other words.
Yes, exactly, mental health. Physical health is just one part of the equation. In Vermont, there is a high level of depression, which would translate into a very high suicide rate.
Why is that?
Well, I think it can be. I think it can be ascertained that because of the lack of large cities, that translates into a lack of activity that stimulates the mind as well as the body. There's a great deal of stimulation, for instance, in outdoor activity, but there's very little to stimulate the mind and the intellect in Vermont. And in the coldest months of the year, we're talking about February and March, is when there is a very significant increase in the sale of handguns as well as ammunition.
Now, when you... This is interesting. In Vermont.
In Vermont, yes.
The sale of handguns... You were talking about depression.
Yes, there's an increase in depression in Vermont in the months of between November and May, and a significant increase that is parallel to this in the sale of handguns. But the murder rate does not go up in Vermont. What does go up is the suicide rate. And so what we have in Vermont, Phil, is...
So you're saying that the suicide rate in Vermont goes up in the winter months by handgun?
By handgun, as well as a very significant rise or increase in the sale of gas stoves. They do a lot of wood-burning stoves in Vermont, but in the wintertime... In the month of February, which is when the highest number of suicides seem to take place in Vermont, there is an equal increase in the sale of gas stoves. And yet people are cooking less.
So people are killing themselves by way of the gas stoves?
I can't say that for sure. People are cooking less and eating out more.
They're cooking less and they're eating out more, but they're buying gas stoves, and there's a higher suicide rate.
That is correct, yes. And so naturally, I draw that conclusion.
That is your conclusion, but that's not an official conclusion from Vermont.
No, it's not, no.
What about the sale of handguns?
The sale of handguns is indicated, yes, but I don't know if they're using those to kill themselves. There doesn't seem to be any increase in hunting activity. There is no increase, for instance, in murder, as we said. The only other thing you'd use a handgun for is target practice. And they do find a lot of broken bottles and things in the wilderness. So either they're doing a lot more target practice or they're killing themselves.
Are you? I'm sorry to ask you this.
No, go ahead.
Are these conclusions that you're drawing yourself, or are these actual official conclusions about Vermont?
I'm drawing these conclusions myself. If you have a large sale of handguns, but there are no murders, but there are more suicides and there are a lot more broken bottles with bullets through them,
then people are, there's a lot more target practice?
Yes.
And more suicide?
Yes.
And the same goes for gas stoves because they're not cooking as much. How do they track that?
Well, you can track that in Vermont because people do most of their eating out in Vermont in February. They go to lodges and these kinds of restaurants, and yet they also buy more gas stoves per capita than any other state in the Union.
And there's a lot of suicides.
That's correct.
Are you able to find out what most of these suicides are from?
Yes, drowning. Most of them are from drowning. And
well, then it doesn't make any sense. You know,
no, I understand that. I'm looking at the raw data, too.
Most of it is from drowning, but they sell more handguns, more people die from suicides, but there's more busted bottles and more gas stoves. How many people die from gas stoves and handguns?
I don't have that data. I do know they drown a lot.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go remote here to Bobby in Tampa, Florida. Bobby, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Marilyn Donnelly. Go ahead, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, what exactly is this woman's expertise? It sounds like she's pulling this stuff out of thin air. It's hard to believe anything that she's saying is factual.
Well, no, these are all government statistics that I've drawn from Health and Human Services, as well as the Surgeon General. Right? Well, you sound a little bit like a fag yourself, are you?
It sound like what?
I said you sound a little bit like a fag yourself, are you?
Do I sound like a little bit like a fag?
That was...
Yeah.
That was unnecessary. That was unnecessary.
She better...
Phil Hendry.
Thank you very much, Marilyn, for your participation in our show tonight.
No, why is that guy a fag?
Thank you very much for your participation in our show tonight.
Did you see what I thought she said?
Yes. Anyway, time for the stories we couldn't get to here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A Canadian member of Parliament learned the hard way on Tuesday that insulting a rival legislator by Twitter is not a good idea, especially if you're sitting around the same table at the same time. Michelle Simpson of the Liberals, unhappy at the behavior of conservative parliamentarian Dean Del Maestro during a committee meeting, sent a Twitter message saying Del Maestro should grow up, not out. Del Maestro, who's not slim, stood up in the House of Commons in front of hundreds of legislators to demand Simpson say she was sorry. I apologize that I'm not perfect and perhaps my stature doesn't meet the criteria that some members of the House might set, but I've actually battled that problem since birth, he said. Simpson then apologized publicly, saying she'd been wrong. In Madeira Beach, Florida, Russ Sitlow says a mysterious serpent-like creature that's at least 20 feet long has been swimming in the canal behind his Madeira Beach home, and he wants to find out what it is. Yes, yeah, sure. Mr. Sitlow says the head will come up and then it will disappear, and then the next thing you know, you see a couple of rolls behind it. Why do I think that? Because that's what it looked like in this Loch Ness Monster movie I saw once, he said. Sitlow has named the creature Normandy Nessie after the Loch Ness Monster. The 78-year-old retired engineer also set up a camera to capture video of the creature, and so far he's recorded Normandy Nessie 6 times. He named it Normandy after the road that he lives on. When I first saw it in April, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was so unreal. Asked why he doesn't just get out there in a boat and sit in it until this creature appears, he said that'd be too easy. I might actually get film footage of the thing, but then I'd get eaten. Anyway, Sitlow is not the only person who claims to have seen a mysterious serpent-like creature swimming around Madeira Beach. Generally, after people have a lot of cocktails down there, Bill Van Aken and his wife Maria say they see it too. I didn't see the tail come out of the water like Russ did, but I could see the wake that it was leaving. It had to be at least 15 feet or longer, Bill Van Acken said. The reason why I think I saw it is because Russ has got me talked into thinking that I saw it too. After watching scenes of the video Sitlow has recorded, a biologist with Florida Fish and Wildlife says the creature in question appears to be a manatee. Like I said, the rate of speed and the size looks indicative of a large adult male manatee taking a break and going back down, said Andy Garrett with FWC. But try to tell these hicks this? No way. But Sitlow insists it's not a manatee. I've swam with manatees, I've swam with sharks, I've swam with snake, and then he sneezed. Women banned from wearing trousers in Paris. Well, we did that story yesterday. Zoo tortoise reveals mistaken identity. A tortoise's zookeepers in Cleveland are the ones feeling slow because after more than 50 years, they've discovered Mary is actually a male. Officials at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo say it can be tough to establish the sex of a giant Aldabra tortoise because the reproductive organs normally aren't visible. But Mary's maleness was unexpectedly revealed earlier this month during a routine exam. Spokesman Tom Okonowitz said Wednesday that the zoo has decided to rename the tortoise Terry. When the 400-pound reptile arrived at the zoo in 1955, it was assumed he was a she because of a flatter shell, shorter tail, and all-around smaller size than most males. The tortoise is estimated to be between 75 and 100 years old.
That's impossible.
No, man, tortoises get to be that old.
100? People don't even live that long. How come tortoises do?
I don't know why tortoises live that long, man, but they do. And if people don't, that's just where it's at. Maybe it's because they got that shell. I don't know. Maybe it's because they're not. Maybe it's because they don't have to live in polluted cities. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they don't smoke. Anyway, after a life of crime stretching back 53 years, a 70-year-old German woman was finally behind bars on Wednesday after pickpocketing a woman 10 years her senior at the bus stop. The pensioner, not named by police, first came to the attention of authorities in December 1956, and during a prolific career of pilfering, had 55 criminal cases brought against her, none of which resulted in a jail term. Age didn't seem to dampen her thieving zeal. However, she was charged 17 times this year alone for a series of petty robberies, including at the nursing home where she resides. It was especially dangerous when the 70-year-old had to go into hospital for treatment. During her stay, cash, wallets, and medical equipment would regularly vanish from other patients' rooms. Oh, bull crap.
No, I swear, that's what it says.
I ain't buying that. Medical equipment?
Yes. X-ray machines, everything. What you gonna do with that? Give herself an X-ray.
What do you mean medical equipment? She's stealing everything in sight, huh?
Yeah, she's like a klepto.
Anyway, after the incident at the bus stop, the authorities had enough and prosecutors issued an arrest warrant. Oh, did they have enough, man, since 1956, huh? They finally had enough? The investigating judge decided not to pussyfoot around any longer and put the pensioner, who has two suspended sentences of 8 and 10 years, behind bars, the statement said. The case shows that age alone does not protect people from prison. Stories we couldn't get to tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so, we already told you these states, but this whole thing about whether or not Texas is going to secede and whether they deserve to get medical treatment as a result is quack, man. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 1-877-876-PHIL, each and every night here from the El Pacifico, where it has been pretty beachy here, man, over the last few days. I got a lot of response from people when I was talking about the Atlanta airport. And I said last night on the show, if you missed it, I said they got this thing in Atlanta, and they have benches you can actually sit on and put your shoes on, right?
Yeah.
And I said, that was revolutionary, man. I'd never seen anything like that before in my life. Now, I've traveled into a lot of cities. Maybe I haven't traveled to all of them. Some cat wrote me and he said, no, Tampa's had that for 4 or 5 years. I said, you know what? I don't believe you, man. I think what you're thinking is there's enough chairs stolen around there that people just finally stick the chairs there and they say, this is where I'm going to sit. You know, they probably got a whole lot of chairs. There may be a whole lot of shopping carts in the Tampa airport for all I know. And but anyway, most of the people that contacted me said the same thing. They said, you know, it ain't a big thing, but the fact is, when you're getting on an airplane, like, you're going through security, okay? And I get it about the securing the country, and I understand it's a tough job, and I'm not knocking it, okay? I just, it's been 8-9 years since 9-11. It's been 8 years since 9-11. And in that time, we're all mindful of the need to protect aircraft. I get that. Now, when you've got a screaming kid and you've got a bipolar wife and you have, you know, you're looking for your passports, you know, you got to get organized. And sometimes it doesn't matter how organized you get, you know, you still got to get organized. And then, oh, yeah, take your shoes off, right?
You know, that's why I wear, like, sandals or even Rance says flip-flops.
Oh, God.
Man, are you kidding me? What's wrong with that?
You're going to stick your dirty, stinking feet out in the... Oh, get out of here.
I wash my feet every day.
You're going to get on a plane with flip-flops, huh? Anyway, so you got all this stuff you got to do. And then, oh, yeah, let's take the shoes off, stick them in the thing. Okay, bing, 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 bang, bang. There you go. Now, what I usually wind up doing is I'm running to the gate or I'm walking to the gate or I'm, you know, strolling several feet in my stocking feet looking for a place to sit down and put my shoes on, man. So I thought it was pretty cool, you know, that that Hartsfield had that. And most of the people, this one guy says that Tampa's got it for 5 years, but then I found out he had a real problem with Hartsfield, and I wondered why that was, and I think it's just the massive size of the place scared him more than anything else. So, you know, even though we are 8 years removed from that horrible event, and I get it that these guys at TSA, man, they're just doing whatever it is. They're doing whatever 19 different memos come down the pike each day tells them to do, right? And it ain't perfect, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Here's one thing I think you guys could probably not sweat, and that's whether or not anybody is packing weed, you know? Forget it. That's not why we put you there. We didn't put you there so you could go through everybody's bag and find out if they got a baggie of dope. We want to find out whether they got guns or bombs or something that's going to bring the plane out of the sky, man. Not whether they're transporting, you know, a couple of buds back to wherever they're going so they can have a little bit of smoke, man, when they hit the ground. By the way, we went through your bags and we found the marijuana. Oh, come on, man. No, I'm sorry. I have to do my job. Is that really your job? Is that really your job? Is that really what you're here? You're here to keep the plane in the air, man. You're not here to keep me out of the air. Well, I got to do some with this stuff. So, you know, don't get overzealous with the gig is all I'm trying to say. And then the other thing that I would also say is thank you for making a chair available so that, you know, we can, like, put our shoes back on. Because if ever they start telling us to strip, and, you know, I was making a joke about that yesterday, but I'm telling you, the day is coming. They already got the X-ray machines. Why not just have us strip nude? Better idea, why not just have us get on the plane stark naked, and that way, you know, it's all out in the open. But this X-ray machine thing, if that actually comes into being, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to have a job then, man, on account of you can see the people nude and everything.
You ain't going to see them nude.
Man, all you're going to see is like X-ray.
You ain't going to see them nude.
What are you going to see?
You're going to see through their clothes.
Yeah, you're going to see nude.
You ain't seeing nude, man. You're seeing like an X-ray. It doesn't look like anything.
Does it go in the clothes or not is the point I'm making.
You ain't making any point, man.
I'm saying, did you see through clothes?
Yeah, it sees through clothes, man. It doesn't see through the clothes so that you can see a lady's boobs or anything like that.
What are you talking about?
Don't you know what an X-ray looks like?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So you're looking at the bones?
It ain't bones, man, but you can see the outline of the body. You see whether they're packing anything, right?
What about if a girl puts like a baggie in the you-know-what?
If a girl, what did he say?
If a lady put a baggie of dope, you know.
But I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys are going to get their cookies looking at that. No way, no way, no way.
Man, you think those guys got a job getting their cookie doing that?
Dude, I don't know whether it sees that close up or not. What I'm telling you is, it can see, I've seen the actual X-ray thing they're going to use at these airports if they ever do use it. All it looks like is if you've got something strapped around your waist, under your shirt, under your pants,
You know? Well, what about, like, if a guy had a cucumber in tinfoil?
Hey, man, you know what? Quit screwing around, huh?
What about, no, that happened in Spinal Tap.
That's Spinal Tap. That ain't real life. All it shows is you can see under the clothing if anybody's got something strapped to their skin, if they've got a gun, that kind of thing, bud. It ain't going to see whether or not somebody's got a baggie stuck up there you-know-what. Maybe it does. I don't know.
What did it look like?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But if you think you're going to get a job with TSA so you can have your jollies, forget about it.
Well, you'll forgive me if I don't take your word for it.
Are you an idiot or something, man? They ain't going to hire you because you want to get your jolly.
Well, that's not the only reason.
You know what, man? If I ever find out that you are applying to the TSA for a job so you can get your silly little thrills looking through people's dresses while they're at the x-ray machines, I'm going to call them up and tell them that that's why you're getting the job.
Why would you do that?
Because you're a jackass, okay? And I don't want the security of my country at risk because of you, if you don't mind.
I got a kind of a baggie.
A lot more than that. We'll be back tomorrow night. Thank you very much. Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez.
Phil Hendry.